podcast, Guy Talking Smack, the weekly review when we talk about whether SmackDown was a smack up, SmackDowner, or a smack in the face. This is your boy EJ the King.
This your guy Jay Fields.
And SmackDown Live took place this weekend.
Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
Ole, 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 ole.
Yep.
Who are from Montreal? I mean, I know Toronto and Vancouver and Quebec and all these other type, you know, places, but what wrestler from Montreal?
Sami Zayn, about 15 minutes away from the arena.
Yeah, they were saying that all Monday. He said, Kevin Owens stage 10 minutes away from the... That was Michael Cole punk ass saying all that shit.
Yeah.
That shit was corny as hell. Then they did it with Jinder Mahal, too. I'm like, okay, we get it. They from Canada.
Right.
Fucking Michael Cole, dude. Anyway, glad one got to deal with him. But yeah, man. Well, any more Canada facts?
Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah, man. I think that shifted the weight of WWE wrestling. They brought, they pretty much brought the attitude for real in WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was the defining moment in the attitude era. Game changer.
Especially when you're like, damn, was that supposed to happen? Back then, you like, wow. And like, you see, read the fine print and realize that, nah, that wasn't supposed to happen. So, yeah. Dig that. But, before we get down with the rundown and everything else, you got a match to watch for?
I don't think I thought about that.
Oh, my God. You didn't watch NXT last night?
I didn't watch it last night.
Well, I'd just like to give a quick shout-out if you don't have one. Wasn't a great match. Wasn't nothing like you're going to talk about forever. That damn Bianca Belair, dude.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that match, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen that match yet, just go back and watch it, and it's a certain spot, and just see what she did. I haven't seen a male do that.
Right.
So, I mean, she's going to be a game changer in the future, man. I hope they actually, you know, keep this momentum going with her push on NXT. And maybe not get an NXT title ring, but, like, she definitely going to be a game changer when she goes to the main roster.
She can be a threat. That's Candice LeRae versus Bianca Belair.
Right. Yeah, Candice LeRae versus Bianca Belair. Like I said, I think they're pushing her still as a cocky heel. So I can't see her bumping into Shayna Baszler and taking that title off of her. But definitely looking forward to see what they got planned for her. Like, hopefully, I need to see more of her. Yeah, we get her. We get our little spots of her every now and then on NXT. But, like, I need her to be involved in the storyline, you know what I'm saying? So we can actually get behind and get some merch and some more stuff, you know what I'm saying? I'm a fan. We've been a fan.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Well, I don't have a past match to watch for because I haven't really watched much wrestling. But I will say this weekend, Progress Wrestling presents Super Strong Style 16 Tournament. You got some really dope guys in there. You got Tyler Bate. You got Pete Dunne. You got Cassius Ohno. You got Keith Lee. You got David Starr. You got a bunch of people. Zack Sabre Jr. is in there. Doug Williams. You got a bunch of guys in that tournament. It's a three-day weekend of Progress Wrestling. You also got Travis Banks versus Walter. It's going to be a damn good weekend. For wrestling, like I almost don't want to leave the house, but I'm going to leave the house a couple times to take part in the Cinco de Mayo festivities. But ultimately, then you also have New Japan big shows this weekend. They've already started. Actually, they started like last night in Japan time, of course. Mm-hmm. You had Kenny Omega versus Adam Page. I haven't seen it yet. I only saw like a quick little highlight. It looked like it was a damn good match. So there are definitely some matches to check out going into the weekend. And next week, I'll be sure to think about the wrestling that I've actually seen. But I didn't really watch much wrestling last week outside of SmackDown and Raw.
Okay. Yep. Dig it. Well, in news and rumors, congratulations to the Bruiserweight. He's having a baby Bruiserweight with his girlfriend. They announced it on Twitter or Facebook. No, on Instagram.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Pete Dunne. I also had a match on NXT last night. Check it out. Pretty good match. Pretty good results. You know, I think he'll be pleased. Not saying that it was just like something, a shocker, but it was a good result, what you expect. Okay. But, yeah, shout out to Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
And WWE has filed trademark license for the Greatest American Bash, so look forward to that coming back.
Okay.
So yeah.
And Kane won the preliminary voting in Knox County. That's Knoxville, Tennessee. Not too far off the road.
Mm-hmm.
From here in Memphis, he won the preliminary to be the Knox County mayor. They're in Knoxville. So shout out to the Big Red Machine or the Big Red Mayor.
Oh, it's got to be Kane. That's got to be Kane.
Yeah. The devil's favorite mayor.
That all sounds bad. Like, I'm not voting.
We need a shirt, though. We should get it on the shirt.
Dig that. Well, sir, let's get down with this rundown. Tell us what happened on SmackDown Live.
All right. Well, SmackDown Live was live from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. The show kicked off with Paige saying that Shane McMahon was not here. They showed the clip of Braun Strowman throwing Shane McMahon through the announce table from the ring in old Undertaker fashion at the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia. That he's basically nursing his injury, that he'll be back soon. And she announced that Shinsuke Nakamura will face WWE Champion, the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, at Backlash in a no-disqualification match so they can have a clear winner for the WWE Championship. Then from there, we go right to the ring, and The Miz is out for another edition of Miz TV. The fans are chanting for Maryse, but they don't. He doesn't really feed into it. He says that he moved Maryse to Hollywood, and the fans kind of give him hell on that. And he also goes in to say that Daniel Bryan is banned from Miz TV due to his no-show. And then from there, he brings out his guest for the evening. He says he's going to beat Seth Rollins at Backlash. I didn't even know they had an Intercontinental title match. That's interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't find out until I watched. But Seth Rollins versus The Miz at Backlash is scheduled for Sunday. And then he brings out his guest, United States Champion Jeff Hardy. And basically, Miz tries to stir the pot, and then he says, I'm going to bring out my second guest, Randy Orton, because Orton and Hardy have a match for the United States title at Backlash. He tries to stir the pot between Orton and Jeff Hardy, basically trying to get Orton to hit Jeff Hardy with the RKO, excuse me, which leads into a quick brawl between them, and then Shelton Benjamin comes out. And they all get into it, and they set up in Teddy Long fashion. You know it. You guessed it. EJ, what did we get?
A tag team match. Player, holla, holla.
Holla, holla, holla. So, following that, we have Shelton Benjamin and The Miz taking on Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy. We saw Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy pick up the win after Orton hit an RKO on Shelton Benjamin. And then tagged in Jeff Hardy to hit a Swanton Bomb on Shelton Benjamin, 1, 2, 3. As soon as Jeff got to his feet, bam, RKO from the Viper. And then he bags up the ramp, basically saying, hey, I'm coming for that title on Sunday. Following that, Renee Young is backstage with the Iconics, and they introduce Carmella. They bring her out, and they make fun of the people of Canada. Carmella talks about how she's going to be SmackDown Women's Champion even after Backlash, and she's going to beat Charlotte, and that they have a six-woman tag match in the main event later on tonight. Following that, they announced that Daniel Bryan is unable to perform due to all the chops that he took from Roderick Strong in the Royal Rumble, the greatest Royal Rumble, and that they were afraid that he would have a bad chest infection. So he was being kept off of the show.
Wow.
Which leads to The Bar. From there, The Bar is backstage walking around. They come up on The New Day. The New Day actually make fun of them for not winning the Raw Tag Team titles. And they try to welcome The Bar to SmackDown. And then Sheamus and Cesaro knock the pancakes out of their hand. Big E gets really mad, gets in Sheamus' face. And Sheamus declares that he doesn't really want to fight Big E, but he'd rather take on Xavier Woods one-on-one. And then they go back and forth. Following that, Rusev and Aiden English are backstage talking, and Aiden English said he has new lyrics for a song for Rusev Day. And then Lana walks in wearing a Rusev Day shirt, and she asks Aiden English to kind of step away and give them some privacy. And Lana basically lets Rusev know that she feels that something's missing, that he hasn't been winning, that something's holding him back. And she doesn't say it, but we can infer, we can make an inference that the thing or the person that's holding back Rusev is Aiden English.
No, too soon.
Way too soon. Following that, we get back to the ring, and Big Cass comes out, and he says that he wants to go face-to-face, head-to-head with Daniel Bryan. He does not want to wait. He talks about how big he is. He talks about how great he is. He talks about how he doesn't need a headlock, a wristlock, an armbar, or any of that because he's big. And then he calls out Daniel Bryan, and a midget version, or a little person version of Daniel Bryan comes out dressed in his tights and the beard and the wig and all that stuff like that. And Cass continues to kind of berate the small size Daniel Bryan, and the little person tries to kick him. It does no good. And then he says, hey, let's celebrate in the ring. You should take in this moment. And then as soon as the little person turns around, big boot from Cass. Cass steps over him, just kind of picks on him as being the way bigger guy. The fans are booing. They don't like it.
Yeah.
Following that, Asuka and Becky Lynch are backstage. Following that, Renee Young is in the ring with AJ Styles, WWE champion. And it was announced early in the night that Shinsuke Nakamura wanted an apology for everything that AJ did to him at the Greatest Royal Rumble. And AJ said that Nakamura is a con artist and a cheapskate, and that he's taking all the shortcuts. But he says Sunday he gets a chance to take the shortcuts too. He gets a chance to break the rules as well. And he's not giving Nakamura an apology. Which leads to then Samoa Joe coming out and declaring that after he's done choking out Roman Reigns, putting his ass to sleep, that he's coming for AJ Styles or Shinsuke Nakamura, whoever is the WWE champion after Backlash. And before anything can happen between the two of them, Nakamura's music hits, and Joe turns around on the stage to approach Nakamura, but Nakamura sneaks in the ring behind AJ Styles. And you guessed it, folks, he hits him with a Ken low blow. Low blow. Another low blow. Fist, like the fifth one.
Fist to balls.
Right. I'm glad that AJ already has children. He's got four more.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be have any more anytime soon.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. He's got a Nakamura.
AJ has a vagina.
So, then Nakamura teases the Kinshasa from behind, and then he runs to the other side of the ring and hits one from the front, leaving AJ Styles land. Then, backstage, Becky Lynch is beating herself up about the fact that she cost Asuka her first match on SmackDown Live. Asuka says it does not make a difference because tonight they're going to hit back three times harder, which leads to Charlotte Flair walking into the locker room. And they talk about how they're going to take him out and how she's going to win her title back from Carmella on Sunday. Then Asuka calls for, like, the Avengers to unite, and then walks off. And then Becky Lynch and Charlotte do the little sipping tea thing, which is weird, and I don't get it.
It's just that.
Following that, Sheamus battles Xavier Woods one-on-one, and we saw Xavier Woods pick up the victory after everybody at ringside, Big E, Kofi Kingston, and Cesaro all get involved in the match. And Sheamus thought that he had the victory, but Xavier Woods was able to get a quick roll-up for the 1-2-3. Then following that, this is a lot. I feel like I'm talking a lot. What's happening, damn it? What's going on? All right. Then Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville are backstage with Paige. They are assuming that Paige is about to give her or give them a SmackDown Women's title match, but Paige says that, hey, no, you're not getting a title match. What you're going to get is you're going to get a one-on-one match. She tells Mandy that she has a one-on-one match with Becky Lynch next week. And then Mandy and Sonya ask for some special treatment. She says, I can't do that because Absolution is dead. And then they just leave it there. They're even wearing Absolution t-shirts. Absolution is dead, EJ.
I can't believe it, man.
Dead.
That segment was dead.
Dead.
D-E-D, dead. I know I spelled that wrong. Nobody called me. I said, you dumb as fuck. No, I ain't.
Following that, we get a quick video package from Selena Vega and Andrade Cien Almas. She's saying that he's going to show up to SmackDown Live when he gets ready, and she knows, and she'll let us know when she wants us to know that he's coming. They get into an SUV, and they drive off.
Aww.
Following that, in our main event, we get Oscar versus Charlotte. Well, Oscar, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch versus the Iconics, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, and SmackDown Women's Champion, Carmella. We see Oscar tap out Peyton Royce with the Oscar lock after pandemonium ensues in the ring. And Carmella backs up the ramp, clutching her title, looking afraid, staring back at Charlotte as the show comes to an end, folks. And that was your SmackDown Live right across the border, up north, in the north, from Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
Alrighty.
Oh, GTS.
Time for smack up, smack down, and smack in the face. Kicks off with Jay Fizzle. So, my guy.
Yes, sir.
What is your smack up this week?
My smack up this week was the main event. The six-woman tag between Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Oscar versus the Iconics and Carmella. Like, I don't know if it was just that great of a match or the Canadian Montreal crowd just fed it more energy than what maybe they gave us. But that was a really good match. I was really entertained. It was fun. I love the way that the match kind of played out. Everybody came out kind of looking strong. I mean, Carmella's not the best, but I mean, ultimately everybody did their part, you know, I feel like. But just shout out to the way that that match flowed. I wasn't expecting it to be in the main event.
Right.
But they hadn't really announced anybody else, so I figured after I looked at the lineup of the show, I'm like, they must gonna let them lead here.
Well, I think they favored to the women more this week because they didn't get to participate in the Greatest Royal Rumble. So.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that. You're right. You're right. Yeah, that made sense. So that was really cool to see. And I feel like they went out and delivered a really good match. I enjoyed some of the spots and things like that with Billie Kay and Peyton Royce and everything, and even them. And them really having control over the match for a while. And then once Charlotte got in there, and then Becky got in there, and Oscar got in there, and, you know, Oscar still, I like the fact that Oscar still feared among the women. Even though she lost that match to Charlotte at WrestleMania, like, people are still, like, afraid to, like, mix it up with her. So I like the fact they're still going with that. And the fact that, like, they allowed her to get the tap out on Peyton Royce. Because, I mean, she should still be a threat.
Right.
You know. She shouldn't just be losing to just anybody, you know. So I like the fact that they kept her looking strong. I hate saying that, but I like the fact they kept her looking strong going into the close of SmackDown. But it was a really good match. I had fun with it. It was entertaining. Like the way that it played out.
Yeah. I saw the match, but I didn't see the ending result because I think I flipped over to the Cleveland and Toronto game and watch the rest of it. And, you know, yeah, I mean, not to shift to basketball, but yeah, that's why I didn't see the ending of it. By the time I turned back, I was like, oh shit, SmackDown's still on. And I turned back and I missed that part. But I pretty much knew that it wasn't going to, pretty much knew the faces were probably going to win that match. So, right. I mean, you know, that's what I assumed. But what I saw so far, like I said, it was pretty good, you know, and like you said, like I just told you, I think they hinted, because on Raw, the women ended the show as well, if I recall correctly. But so they pretty much wanted to put the women spotlight since they didn't get to really, well, they not no get to really, but they didn't participate at all Sunday. But I mean, not Sunday, Friday. But definitely good match. I also was entertained backstage with Oscar did the Avengers shout out thing too as well. That was pretty cool.
Right. Cool. Well. EJ,
yep.
What was your smack up this week? Because that was not it.
My smack up this week was the teasing of the future match between AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. Joe put the SmackDown locker room on notice last week. And, you know, pretty much, you know, okay, yeah, sometime down the line, he going to confront somebody and, you know, get something started. But just the fact that he automatically jumped up and inserted himself into AJ's promo, which AJ was cutting a pretty good promo as well, you know, during SmackDown or whatever. And then Joe interrupted. Then also, just pretty much that whole segment is the fact that when Nakamura came in and interfered as well. I just love the whole little exchange because Joe was ready to mix it up with Nakamura if he had to. So that was pretty cool too as well. But, this is the rivalry that we've been anticipating, I guess, you know, for over a year between AJ and Nakamura. And I think it's living up to the hype that we wanted to live up to, especially since the roles are reversed far as the heel and face. And I guess we can get into predictions after at the end of the show. But, man, like, I'm really looking forward to this match, and especially it's a no DQ now. So, I mean, it's going to be something worth keeping your eyes locked on.
I fully agree with that last thing you said. A no disqualification match, Nakamura, AJ Styles, you can't get that anywhere.
Right.
You can't get that anywhere. I didn't think that they was going to go with like a gimmick match, you know, like a street fight or a cage match or something like that. I didn't even think I thought they was going to have another regular standard match. Mm-hmm. But they get a chance to literally take it up 10 notches. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what an AJ Styles match in no disqualification can lead to. This dude will be all over the arena, all over ringside, all in the crowd. Like, they will pull out such crazy. Think about the table match between, the TLC match between Dean Ambrose and AJ. Think about that match. Like, those are the type of matches. I mean, that was a damn good match. Like, anytime AJ is in one of those, you know, matches like that, we get some really good stuff, so I'm excited. And then plus it's Nakamura, and it's a heel Nakamura, so he's going to be taking cheap shots left and right, and AJ's going to already say he's willing to break the rules. Like, we get weapons. AJ Styles and Nakamura using weapons, ringside area, like fighting around ringside. I'm excited.
Yeah, and I think it's more going to play a factor to that, you know, Nakamura going to get what he's been giving AJ all the whole time, like low blow. Yeah. He's going to get it too, so. But, that's one of the matches to watch for.
Oh, yeah.
Future references. But, yeah, dig that. And like I said, they mixed up with Joe pretty much on the outside, wait, you know, ready to pick up the scraps, you know, whoever left over, you know what I'm saying? So, that's intriguing as well. So, it's like pretty much once this storyline ends, it's going to pick up with somebody else.
Right. So,
but, moving on to some downers, and it's best believe. It was a lot of downers to SmackDown to me.
This is very true.
So, Jay Fields, what was your SmackDown this week?
My SmackDown this week, it's small. And I'm not saying this because I don't want her involved, but my SmackDown this week is the potential breakup of Rusev Day, of Aiden English and Rusev, mm-hmm. with the insertion of Lana now, kind of stirring the pot, creating dissension between Aiden and Rusev. Like, I would have just much rather, like, her just join them as opposed to her being the reason why they may or may not be working together, especially when Aiden English is the piece of Rusev Day that got everybody really behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't understand. I think this is... I don't like the booking so far. I mean, like, I don't even like the fact that it's been introduced. I know a lot of times people will say, well, hey, man, give it a chance.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to. I like that she's back on TV and that they're trying to use her, which they should have been doing that all along.
Right.
But you think about it. They were just doing the mixed tag challenge together, and all of them were hanging out together doing videos together. So what's changed? I don't want to see it go away. So, that's my SmackDown. And short and sweet, I'm concerned about the fact that Aiden English and Rusev may not be teaming together anymore.
I mean, yeah, I agree with that as well. It's just like I said, you know, I mean, you said it perfectly. That the fact that Aiden English is the reason this push is happening in the first place. And the fact that WWE prematurely say, okay, while Rusev hot, let's link them back over Lana and get rid of Aiden English. Like, you pretty much messing up what you had going. Like, I mean, people get excited when they see Aiden English because they know Rusev is coming. And I'm not saying that Lana won't, people won't get excited knowing that Rusev is coming when they see Lana, but the fact of the matter is, like, let this man get his push. Let this man ride this wave as long as it can, as long as it, till it get boring or whatever you want to do. But, like, it, I mean, pretty much just getting started, you know, and, like, the fact that they go on this route and even try to even poke a hole in it and, like, let it somewhat leak over, it's just kind of, like I said, I just don't like the way it's, like I said before, when you announced it just SmackDown, this is way too soon, like, too soon, like, I mean, I don't, it ain't like, you know, they haven't been getting along, it ain't like they ain't been successful together, it's just like, why go this route? Bam.
I agree. Well, I think I know where you're going now.
Do you?
I think so.
You couldn't possibly.
I think I do.
Don't you dare. You don't know.
So, EJ, it's that time. What is your SmackDowner, sir?
You don't know my SmackDowner. But my SmackDowner has to be the tag match between Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Shelton Benjamin, and The Miz. Wasting my time. I mean, I know the goal is to get to Backlash. And, like, you know, it's just, I guess, you know, as far as me predicting that this is going down, that's the only part I didn't really enjoy about it. Like I said, downer. Not something I hated or just wanted to do without, period. But at the same time, it's like, this storyline is not interesting. Like I said, I'm surprised that maybe you didn't bring it up, because, like I said, still this U.S. title just floating around. And I mean, like I said, I wish I am a little interested in the match this Sunday, but, like, it's not exciting as it should be. It didn't have enough time to build. I mean, it seemed like that just to have this greatest Royal Rumble, then immediately the week later had a pay-per-view feeding off of that. It's kind of like, it seems like so rushed. It didn't really give it time to build. Like, you know, yeah, we had 2 weeks to see Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton being bothered by the interruptions from each other, but, like, I really don't buy the storyline. Like I said, just, and then also to throw Shelton Benjamin in there as well. I mean, like, it just seemed like, you know, like, this is kind of, it was leading, I thought they was going to make it lead to a fatal four-way, which I was afraid of. I'm like, Miz shouldn't be fighting for the U.S. title. And then I remember that he's fighting for the IC title again Sunday, so I immediately ruled that out. But, like, it's just, I don't know, just something that, I mean, it seemed like there was something off in that moment. I love the Miz TV segment. That was entertaining. Miz trying to stir the pot the whole time. But, like, I just wish they would have left it at that. They didn't have to have a match to it. But I knew, so as soon as Miz came out of his ring gear, I knew it was going to happen. So I just didn't like that. It was so predictable on that part.
Okay. I was surprisingly okay with it. And the match wasn't bad. I actually enjoyed the match, and that's kind of hard to say considering the people that were in there.
Right.
You know, I was actually okay with the match. It was pretty good. It was, since I knew that it was going to lead to a tag match, when I saw Shelton Benjamin, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know what this is going to end up as. And it's like, I don't know why they do that with SmackDown. They make it so predictable. Like, we've been sitting through this type of booking with SmackDown for like 15 years, ever since the Teddy Long era. Like,
yeah, the ghost of Teddy Long.
Do something different. We rarely get matches like that just thrown together like that on Raw. Oh, we're gonna make this a tag team match, and then you go to commercial and they come back and it's a tag team match. They rarely do that on Raw. They put a little more effort in to make it a little more interesting. Like, they could have had a triple threat match, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. They could have had a special guest referee match. I don't know. I mean, anything other than just a tag match, just to get to a RKO for everybody. Just to send Orton into the pay-per-view looking like he's unbeatable. I mean, I didn't like it. Yeah. I didn't like that part, but the match itself was pretty good.
I think, like I said, I just immediately got turned off once I knew that match was going on, so I really couldn't enjoy it as I wanted to. I mean, I'm pretty sure, like I said, I watched it, but I wasn't looking forward to it. I wasn't excited. I wasn't, like, thrilled about the results. I mean, I saw the RKO coming and, you know, things like that, so.
Right.
Just the fact that, you know, these guys, you say, oh, we're cool and all that type of stuff. I'm like, man, come on. Whatever. Anywho. Okay. Well, it's time to get down and dirty, sir.
Let's
So, let's talk about this smack in the face. Might be a hot tag. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a hot tag. So,
me too.
Jay Fields, before we go into our smack in the face, what did you think my SmackDown was going to be? Because I'm pretty sure it's anonymous where our smack in the face is going to be.
I thought that was going to be a SmackDown.
No, it's my smack in the face. But,
gotcha.
What is your smack in the face, sir?
My smack in the face is the promo cut by Big Cass. Hot tag.
Hot tag in Booker T fashion. Hand on fire.
So, let me just start off by saying that this started as a complete train wreck. And it got better. And then it got worse again. It got really bad again. We've sat through these big tall dudes picking on a little guy storylines. We've seen it done so many times. Little guy, you're a little guy. Oh, you're this. And this is exactly what I did not want to happen.
Yep.
You have an opportunity to tell a different story. It does not have to be about size. It does not have to be this blatant storytelling of, oh, I'm 7 feet tall, and Daniel Bryan, he's a little guy. Daniel Bryan's a multiple-time world freaking champion. Big Cass, have you won a title?
Nope.
Haven't won one. So let's not even play this game of, I'm better than you because I'm big. You haven't done anything in your career but look after a little guy. We've already had this storyline when he turned on Enzo.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care about it then. Don't really care about it now. I really wish they would go in a different direction. But let's get to the promo itself. And I'm going to save some of this for you.
Okay.
The promo itself was horrible because the fans were literally booing all over the beginning of this promo. And Cass did nothing to get the fans back focused on what he was saying.
Right.
He did nothing. These people literally yelled and booed and taunted at him for the first 2 minutes of his promo. For example, you know how Miz does. Mm-hmm. The fans get off subject. The fans get off focus. What does he do? When my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut. Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand you can't use that catchphrase because it's taken. But you could have done anything to get the fans back focused on what you're saying. They weren't even listening. They were so busy booing this man and giving him a hard time, they literally weren't even paying attention to what he was saying. It took him so long to get the attention of the fans back. He didn't take a shot at them. He didn't say anything to them to get them to refocus their booing or their taunting at him or whatever. And then it got a little bit better. And then he brings out little person Daniel Bryan. Why did we not see how that was going to go? Like, we have got to stop telling these 20-year-old stories. We've seen this a million times already. Like, maybe it's because of how old we are.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's just not entertaining anymore. Because, I mean, there was probably a 13-year-old kid in the crowd that had never known that that had been done before. Or a 20-year-old fan or a new fan or a new 30-year-old fan that maybe not known that this has happened before already. You know, Shawn Michaels did that to Bret Hart.
Yeah.
We've seen this before. And we've seen it many times even beyond that. I can't even remember all the times because it's not that entertaining anyway. But the point is that we've seen this little guy, big guy feud too many times already. Baron Corbin did it for a while. Big Cass is doing it now. Ryback has done it. Everybody's done it. Sid Vicious has done it. We've seen it. Like, no, give us something else. Give us something else. When Rey Mysterio was the little man and Big Show's done it, Strowman has done it. Like, no. Give us another storyline. You could have told a better story. I like the narrative of Big Cass being injured. Mm-hmm. And getting cleared at the same time with Daniel Bryan.
Exactly.
The promo he cut last week was way better. Way better. Hot tag.
Here's the tag, and he's ready to roll.
You throw my fire. That's what I was going to go. I was going to lead in with that. I was like, yeah, I mean, just like you brought up, an interesting storyline would have been better going into the direction, like, with the injury thing and the fact that, you know, the favoritism thing. Even, like, if the crowd started losing focus, I mean, just like you said, he could have immediately – shot to the point like, oh, it's because I'm not Daniel Bryan. You guys not giving me respect I deserve or anything, though. But not hype-wise and especially, like, hinting towards, like, you know, Daniel Bryan is nothing. Because, I mean, like you said, I mean, this man's a Grand Slam champion. He won every title in the biz. So why the hell are you discrediting him like he's not great at all? I mean, you can probably discredit one title if you want to even try to go in that direction, but what about the rest of them? So, I mean, like, get out of here with that. But the fact, you know what I'm saying, you know, we rolled off this high of his great promo he did on Miz TV last week, and, like, he reeled us in, like, big fish on the hook. And now you come out here trying to throw the same bait out there, but yet with a little-ass worm. Like, you ain't even, like, what are you doing? Like, it's just, I was so lost in that promo. It was so not entertaining at all. I literally grabbed the remote, scrolled on some things I needed recorded for the rest of the week. I mean, I was listening. Because I knew this was going to be my smack in the face, so I wanted to make sure I heard everything and absorb everything. But at the same time, it's like, this shit was so trash. And then, like you said, the crowd was drowning him out. And instead of feeding with the crowd, he stuck to his script. Like, okay, I got to say everything I said I was going to say, no matter what they're doing, no matter what the reaction. He didn't feed off the crowd. And to make things even worse, like I said, I'm sounding like repeating myself after you. You bring out the little guy out there, and I'm like, so this is what we're doing. And, like, I'm just – it just lost all its theme. Like, this was a match a week ago. Especially Daniel Bryan's not on there. Show a video package. Show him talking backstage. Don't put him in the ring with that microphone in front of that crowd, and he doesn't have anything interesting to say at all or anything to further pull me into the match that's going up Sunday. Because last week, I was for it. I'm like, I'm ready for this match. You know, not saying, like, match to watch for a potential five-star match, but, like, I was ready to see the storyline and see what they can possibly do with this character with Big Cass now. But now I'm just like, oh, get this win over it. Daniel Bryan going to beat the shit out of his ass and probably kick him in the head a couple times and knock him out and get this win. He better get it like that. But, yeah.
I fully agree. And the thing about it is, like, okay, like, think back a few weeks ago when they had the Melibration and how the fans were literally shitting all over Carmella. Yeah. And how she took control of the crowd. That wasn't planned. You can never tell what the crowd's going to do.
Right.
She took control of the crowd in that moment and made them react to everything she was doing. This dude completely ignored the crowd. You would have thought this man was standing in front of a mirror, reciting it.
Exactly.
He didn't even pay any attention to anything they were doing. They were trying to get under dude's skin, and he wouldn't even stop because I guess he was like, I'm that uncomfortable in this moment to where I don't want to mess up. And to me, that just proves that you're not ready. Not to say that you don't deserve a chance to be ready, but this is just, to me, I think that's a knock against you. I think that's a ding against you when you had an opportunity to go out and feel the energy of the crowd and you ignored them just to make, like you said, to get all your words out, to make sure that you hit your speech exactly as you practice it in the back. That's bullshit to me. I don't like it.
Right. Definitely, like I said, that was definitely a sour patch of SmackDown, and I was really disappointed that they didn't keep the ball rolling. It's kind of like what they did with Mojo as well, like, you know, a couple months back, like, he cutting these dope-ass promos on Twitter and shit, and you come out there with this whack-ass music and the same ring gear and pretty much the same approach, but a couple heel moves during your match. So I'm like, y'all didn't ride this momentum. Y'all didn't ride the wave good at all on this one. Y'all wiped out, you know, in surfing terms.
Right.
So, I mean, it just looked promising. I mean, I actually, not saying I'm going to go buy a Big Cass shirt, but I was like, I can get behind this. If he's going to cut promos like this, if I see a match, because I don't think he had a match since he's been back yet. He's been involved in the, like, Battle Royals thing, but, like, has he been involved in the match?
And honestly, this was an opportunity to put his ass in a match.
Exactly.
Put him in a match with Sin Cara. Let him destroy Sin Cara, because Sin Cara's a little guy.
Yeah.
Let him completely destroy Sin Cara and say at the end of it, this is what I'm going to do to you, Daniel
exactly.
Bryan.
That's all he had to do.
That's all you got to do. You ain't got to come out there with this long monologue. But see, WWE, they've been known for it. You have one good week on the mic, and they're going to keep shoving that son bitch in your hand every week. Week after week after week. And it just dries it completely out. It drives it completely out. We've watched Dolph Ziggler get screwed over, constantly having a mic put in his head. You remember when he was dressing up as all those superstars week after week?
Yeah.
They got ran into the ground really quick. Putting Bobby Roode on commentary every week, really quick. He got burnt out really quick. Because WWE, they find one thing, and they're like, we're just going to do more of that. Instead of trying to continue to be, what are they supposed to be? The creative team.
Right.
Crazy, man.
Well, that'll do it for our rundown and review. So, any near falls?
Unbelievable! Undertaker, he kicked out!
Yeah. I'm digging the New Day and the Bar.
Yeah.
Even though we've seen it before, I'm not going to complain about it. I'm definitely not going to complain. I like the interaction at ringside with everybody getting mixed in the match. Xavier Woods surprisingly picked up the victory. I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see the matches because now you got another good tag team. And I'm wondering how the Bar's going to figure in with the Bludgeon Brothers. How's that going to go?
Right. And you still got Sanity coming.
And you got Sanity coming.
Killian Dane. Mixing up with all the... Man. I mean, we can get a Killian Dane versus AJ. I mean, a lot of matches we can get. I mean, oh, I'm sorry. You know, it's just everywhere. But, yeah, I enjoyed that too as well. I mean, like I said, the match wasn't bad at all. And like you said, these two teams are very familiar with each other. And it keeps both teams busy. You know, like, yeah, the focus is on the title in the future. But, like, right now they focus on each other. And it's still Usos and the Bludgeon Brothers pretty much still got some things to work out. Even though they was the Bludgeon Brothers retaining their titles at Greatest Royal Rumble, I don't think it's over with. So, especially, you know, getting Naomi involved now too. So, we'll see where this pans out and where this goes. So,
right.
But, yeah, that's pretty much, that was going to be my near falls as well. Everything else, I mean, still anticipating Andrade CN coming in to SmackDown.
I'm so ready. And the thing about it is they must know we were ready.
Mm-hmm.
They must know because he's the only talent outside of Sanity that hasn't shown up yet.
Right.
He's the only one. So it's like, damn, y'all let Lashley go. Y'all let all these people already make their re-debuts and show back up. And you all are holding Andrade. But I like it, though. I like it because that gives all this other stuff a chance to wrap up, like the cross-brand stuff for Backlash.
Right.
It gives that a chance to kind of finish up. And then maybe he can come right in there and take that United States title off Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, like I said, he may get involved this Sunday and during somebody matches or just pop up on SmackDown next week at all. You know what I'm saying? Just jump in and get involved in anything. So.
Right. I'd be so cool with it.
All right. Well, let's get to these Backlash predictions, sir.
All right.
Got to name the pre-show matches as well. Starting off, we have Sasha Banks, Bayley, Ember Moon, and Natalya versus the Riot Squad and Mickie James. Match of the night?
No.
Oh, damn. So,
Going with the faces. Sasha Banks, Bayley, Natalya, Ember Moon.
I'm going to go with the Riot Squad and Mickie James. I think they're probably going to brew something with Sasha and Bayley again, and that's going to play a factor in them losing. But that's how I look at it.
Okay.
Next, we have the Cruiserweight Championship between Cedric Alexander and Buddy Murphy.
This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think it go. We don't get to talk about it much. But Cedric Alexander has been blowing it out the water. Even before he got the title, but since he's got the title,
mm-hmm.
like, dude's killing it. Dude's killing it.
So you going with Cedric?
I'm going with Cedric.
I'm going with a strong Cedric as well, but I'm pretty sure, like I said, this is going to be a good match. I mean, Buddy Murphy has really been working. You know what I'm saying? So I like the character revamp they did with him and the direction they're going with him. So looking forward to that. Next, we have the New Day versus the Bar.
I'm going with the Bar.
I'm going to lean that way, too, as well. New Day doesn't need this victory.
Right.
Bar needs some momentum. They even look like a threat right now for the tag team titles for SmackDown. So, Not saying they really don't look like have to look too much like a threat because they're both well talented wrestlers. But yeah, I'm going that way too as well.
Yeah, you can't bring over 4-time Raw Tag Team Champions and they not go over on their first match. I just think that's weird, even if it's against the new guy.
I agree. In another tag match, Teddy Long is in the building, people. Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
First, I'd just like to say I hate the fact that Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman are teaming up.
I agree.
They could have done that crap at WrestleMania and saved us from having to see that punk kid.
Damn, Nicholas. And they gave this man a t-shirt.
Yeah, I saw it.
Fuck out of here.
I'm going with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Really?
They got to win. There's no way around it. They've got to win. There has to be some type of miscommunication, take Braun out of the equation, something. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have been on a losing streak since forever.
Forever.
I can't remember the last time that those dudes won a match. They hadn't won since before WrestleMania, I don't think.
Well, I'm gonna go the other way as well. Again, I just can't see them having these two powerhouses on the same team and losing. But I can see it the way you're talking about as well. Like, possibly something comes up, something happens outside the ring, and Braun's taken out early, and they get the win on Bobby Lashley. But it looks real unlikely to me. But I can see it happening. That's the WWE way, so I wouldn't put it past them. Next, we have Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass.
Daniel Bryan.
I'm scared. We just talked about this.
Yeah.
I think WWE is really trying to get behind this Big Cass push. And I'm going to go with Big Cass, man. I don't want to.
Let me reiterate. Daniel Bryan by DQ.
Okay. I'll take that. All right, next we have the United States Championship match between Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton.
Jeff Hardy.
Better be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with Jeff Hardy as well, too. I'm probably going to say this every week. Randy Orton should have went to Raw. I just still don't get why he's still over here. Like, I don't get it, but anyway.
Right. And then he's still a face.
Yeah, on top of that. Well, he's a tweener because anybody can get an RKO, you know, so whatever. Next, we have the Intercontinental Championship between Seth Rollins versus The Miz.
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, it's too soon. I mean, I wish Miz would just beat their record so he can focus on AJ or get a feud between him and AJ for the WWE title or something, or him and whoever, but yeah. They ain't not going to have both titles on SmackDown. So, let's be realistic. That's what I hate when WWE booked themselves in a hole like that. Like, they should have did the Superstar Shake-Up after Backlash if they going to do it like this, you know what I'm saying? But, whatever.
You're right.
Yeah. Next, we have the Raw Women's Championship versus Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss.
Nia Jax.
I'm going Nia as well. She's been, strongly pushed.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to pretty much just let her be a wrecking ball and build somebody up to actually look like they're a threat to get that title off of her.
Right.
Moving on to SmackDown's Women's Championship, Carmella versus Charlotte Flair.
I'm going with Carmella.
Me too. Any predictions in the match?
I think the Iconics.
Yeah.
I think everybody's going to get involved.
I agree. Same here. Next, we have Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
Joe.
Oh.
Because he can't. Think about it like this. Just fly with me.
All right.
He cannot challenge AJ or Nakamura. If he doesn't win, he'll have no reason to claim it. He's gotta put Roman to sleep. Roman can take that loss.
Yeah, he can. Especially now on the same show, he can't get it back.
Right.
Yeah. I think the Roman Empire is slowly going down, but like, of course, it's not going down fast. But yeah, I also see Joe winning this match as well. You made perfect sense. He can't be a threat for the title if he's not winning. And for him to even step up and say, make that promo he made on SmackDown, and then come up with a loss, I think that would be a waste of time, and that'd be a waste of Joe.
And it just shows that WWE doesn't know what the hell they're doing, because he inserted himself into the Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns situation, and Brock retained. He had an Intercontinental title match, didn't win it. And if he loses to Roman, it's like he's literally just been kind of talking a good, he's been doing essentially the same thing he says that Roman's been doing, talking a good game. Like, he's got to deliver. Like, he needs a match to where he delivers more, I think, than Roman does. Roman can afford another loss, because we're sick of his ass anyway.
Agreed. And our final main event, Shinsuke Nakamura versus the WWE champion, AJ Styles.
I'm going with AJ.
I'm going with Nakamura. I think it's that time is coming. Nakamura's going to get that title off of him. I don't think the feud's going to be over, but I think he's going to get that title off of him at Backlash.
That's interesting.
I just saw a tweet or on Instagram or something, and not saying it's going, this is the reason that I'm giving my answer, but like, Backlash 2016, AJ Styles got the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
Backlash 2017, Jinder Mahal. Backlash
2018. Oh, damn it.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, but like I said, I just think, you know, they got to reward Nakamura. I mean, not saying that, you know.
Bring him all the way here for nothing.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's been a year and some months now.
Yeah.
You got to reward
him. Well, it's been longer than that if you count NXT.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about far as, you know, he had a title in NXT. Somebody on the main roster, but yeah, like, you gotta reward them, man. I mean, you know, we haven't been strongly behind the push he had before the AJ situation, before the Royal Rumble, I guess.
Right.
But ever since the Royal Rumble, I think they've been kind of putting him in the right direction. So I just really believe they need to get behind him, and I think that's gonna start at Backlash, and he's gonna get this title. Possible match of the night.
I'd be okay with it. AJ's had a solid run.
Right.
And then maybe him and Joe can have just a match to see who's going to get the rematch or get the match with Nakamura.
Yeah, that'd be dope too. And you also, well, if Daniel Bryan's still involved with the other shit, I mean, throw in Daniel Bryan in that, you know.
Yep.
And Triple Threat before SummerSlam, or whoever wins Triple Threat get to fight AJ or Nakamura at SummerSlam. That'd be dope.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Book.
But yeah, that's Backlash, man. So, looking forward to checking it out Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to get off your chest?
No. I'm just excited for a weekend of wrestling.
Yeah.
I hadn't had a weekend like this in a long time. So, I'm looking forward to a weekend of nothing but wrestling. I like I said, I won't be out too much. You know, I'll really be tuning in and seeing everything that's how it's unfolding over the weekend. So, I'm amped up.
You freeze up?
Can you hear me?
Okay. I thought you froze up. You was like, you was still as a rock. Pause. Anyway. that would do it for the podcast today, fellas. So, fellas and girls, whoever listening, check out 1515 app for other content. Links to subscribe, download, stream, do everything. Anything you do to get this podcast, check it out. Check out GTS on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Join our Hot Wrestling page. They hear us talk about wrestling and stuff, not just WWE, New Japan, Progress, ROH,
Revolution Pro.
Got one guy talking about Impact. You know, we talk about it all. So, you know, come check it out. But
who was watching Impact tonight?
Who? But until next week, this is your boy JDK.
This is your guy Jay Phil.
We are out to see. Awesome.